Okay, this is tonight is Monday night, May 6th. This is the Gemara Shir, Rav Moi Katan Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, towards the bottom.
Excuse me, Amud Aleph. Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Okay, we are up to three lines after the Gemara. Gets a little wider. Actually, the fourth line. Ve'omar avitul safra mishmei derav. As the Gemara does quite frequently, when you have a memra, a statement of an amora who is not quoted very frequently, and avitul is hardly ever quoted. So what the Gemara does, it cites all of his or many of his other statements, just that it's easier to remember. That's the way they used to remember certain things. So if he said something, so it has nothing to do with the topic at hand. And the only reason why it's here is because it's authored by this Avitul Safra Mishmei Derav. So he said, Paro Shehoya Bimei Moshe, Hu Ama Uzikono Ama Uparmashtakto Ama Vezeres, Likayim Mashinemar Ushfal Anashim Yokim Ale. The Paro, who was at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, he was one Ama tall. So at best, an Amma is 2 feet. And his beard was an Amma long. And his penis, uparmashtakto, was a little longer than an Amma vazeres. In order to fulfill this, that's why he's not quoted too frequently. In order to fulfill the pasuk written in Daniel, Ushfal Anoshim, low life people, low people, Shafal means low, people who are not of stature, nonetheless, Yokim Aleh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will place occasionally people who are not of stature and make them one of the most powerful people on earth. Napoleon was that. The pasuk here is written about Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar also, there are many Gemaras that indicate that he was very, very short, and he's the last person in the world you would think who would be the king of Babel and destroy the Beis HaMikdash and so on and so forth. So too, no one would ever believe that this paro, being of that size, this pint-sized paro, would be the person who would be able to enslave Am Yisrael for 210 years. But, as the pasuk says, Ki Lashem HaMelucha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides who is in charge. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that this paro is going to be in charge, and ain't nothing that anybody can do about it to prevent it. Nothing that you can do.
Where did he come up with these measurements about beard, about his...
I have no idea where he got... maybe he saw it in Medrash someplace. I have no idea. I don't know. I can't imagine he just made it up, waking up one day, and said, oh, Paro was one arm tall. You know? It would make him one of the smallest people in the history of the human being. An Amma is a machloikis, whether it's 18 inches or 2 feet. So let's even give him the benefit of the doubt, and we'll go the chumrah, that he was 2 feet tall. And his beard was 2 feet tall. Anyway, okay. Yeah. A second point that is pointed out by many, you know, many who write on this, the Marsha and others, by demonstrating and comparing various parts of his body, it's demonstrating that according to various sources in Chazal, every person's Yetzer HaTov and Yetzer Hara are of equal measure. And the reason why they are of equal measure, it is in order to give you true Bechira Chopshit. So if you have an inclination to do good, or inclination to do bad, and though one overpowers the other, if that's part of your makeup, then you don't, to some extent, you don't have Bechira Chopshit. So here, it's generally speaking, it's equal. So you have Bechira Chavshis. But in Paro's case, one of the limbs that are discussed in this Gemara was slightly bigger than anything else, which is an indication that his Yetzer Hara was worse, was stronger, more powerful than his Yetzer HaTov. And that means his Bechira Chavshit was denied him to some extent, and the Pasuk in Parshat Bo supports it, where the Torah states, Va'ani Aksheh es Lev Paro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, after the fifth Makkah, where up until the fifth Makkah it says, Vayichazek Vayechzak Paro et Libo. After that, it says, Vayichazek Hashem et Lev Paro. And we're going to see the Ramban, who deals with this idea that it is possible that somebody will be denied Bechira Chavshis. And that's something which runs against, you know, a very integral core value of Am Yisrael and of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats all people. Because if you are stripped of Bechira Chavshis and you do something wrong, in theory you shouldn't be held accountable for it. So how do we understand this in relationship to Paro? And that's what's symbolized here by his Amma So being not only an Amma, but Amma Vazeres.
Unless that's the answer that it was counteract. It was to counteract the Makos. The Makos would force him in one direction.
Right. That's what some say. Exactly. That he would not have, he would not have sent Am Yisrael due to the fact that he's acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What the reason why he would have sent Am Yisrael is because he couldn't take the affliction any longer, couldn't take the pain, the suffering. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that he should send Am Yisrael from Mitzrayim due to the fact that he recognizes and acknowledges that God is the all-powerful one. So if you take the sheet for a second, and I made this source sheet yesterday before yesterday's Yankee game and before tonight's game where they were winning 7-3 in the bottom of the fifth already. So I just didn't know who to put the numbers on. Because it was before yesterday's game, and on Shabbos afternoon they lost 7-3, so I'm not going to put them on the loss.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So take a look at page 1 on the right hand side. First is Sfarno, and then on the next page, I believe, is the words of the Holy Ramban. So, Va'ani Aksheh. So, he says what Yehuda just said. Hine, bihiyot ha'el chafetz, b'tshuvat risha'im, velo b'misasam. On account of the fact that we strongly believe, truly believe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is desirous of the Rasha, the engaging in repentance, and not taking his life, ke'omro, as we say 50 times in the middle of Tfilas Ni'ila, we would say it in 15 different ways the exact same thing, chay ani ne'um Hashem, im echpotz b'mos ha'rasha, ki im b'shuv ha'rasha midarko, v'chayam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swears that I am not interested in taking the life of a Rasha, but rather that he should repent and live. Omar Shiyarbe es osasav v'esmosav. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to increase his miracles. V'zeh lahashiv et Mitzrayim b'tshuva. And that is for the purpose of getting the Egyptians to repent. Bahodia lohem gadlo v'chazdo b'ososav mosim. By proving to them the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through these incredible, miraculous deeds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu do. Ke Amro, Ba'avur Zos He'emadaticha, Ba'avur Haroscha et Kochi. This is the reason why I have placed you here, tells Moshe, because I want you to show him my power. V'im zeh ha'isa ha'kavana shi'Yisrael yiru v'yiro. Not just Paro. There were many doubters of Am Yisrael themselves. So the Makot were just as relevant and significant for members of Am Yisrael as they were for the Egyptians. Ke Amro, as it states, Lema'an shisi ososai eile bikirbo. That's one reason, so that Paro will ultimately recognize it. And the second reason is Uliman tisaper ba'ozne bincha uben bincha eis asher hisalauti b'mitzrayim ves ososai asher samti bam v'ein sofek. No doubt in my mind. Shelule hachbadat halev, had not HaKadosh Baruch hardened Paro's heart. Haya Paro, page 2, Mishaleach et Yisrael b'li safek. He undoubtedly would have sent Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, lo outzad tshuva v'hachna'a lo el yitbarach, not on account of acknowledging the authority of God and repentance, shiyitnachem mihiyot moreid, that he will have regrets that he had been rebelling against God up until now. Afal pi shehikir gadlo v'tuvach. He did recognize the power and goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he did see. But that's not the reason we'd have let them out. Ela outzad heyoso bilti yachol lisbol od etzarat ha-makot. He just would not have been able to tolerate the force of the makot. Kimo shehigidu avadav be'omram haterem teda ki avdam Mitzrayim. If you're going to be such an action, the next thing you're going to know is that what? Mitzrayim is going to be destroyed. Vizot lo hayta tshuva klal. That is not considered what? Doing tshuva, that you'll acknowledge and a consent based on the fact that you will want to avoid being destroyed. Aval im haya Paro chafetz lihikana lo el yitbarach. Had Paro wanted to submit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lashuv elav b'tshuva shleima, lo hayalo mizeh shum moneya. There would have been nothing preventing him from doing so. That's the way Sforno interprets this idea. However, the Ramban offers a very famous statement, but it's important to know. Va'ani, on the top of page 2, Va'ani akshe et leif paro, Amru b'medrash rabba, Gila lo, shehu atid lichazek et libo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't pull any punches, didn't pull any surprises. He told Paro, this is what I'm going to do. La'asot bohadin, because I want him to know that I'm boss. Tachat sheheevidam ba'avodah kashah. Because he enslaved them and made them work much harder than they rightfully should have, even if they should have been enslaved. They should not have been exposed to what he exposed them to. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to repay him midah keneged midah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mikan pischon per leminim. This exchange with HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives all apikorsim, amin is an apikores, apikorsim something to have a complaint about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did I say? Lomar lo haisam mimenu shiasa tshuva. That Paro did not have the opportunity to engage in repentance. Ella im laleitzim hu yalitz. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only talking to what? To fools. Then you'll come up with such thinking that God simply stripped him of all Bechira Chavshas. But what happened? Masrebo pam rishona ushniye ushlishis ve'eno chozerbo. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you an opportunity once to do tshuva, twice to do tshuva, three times to do tshuva. Then v'hu no'el bo delet mina tshuva. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the opportunity to do tshuva. Kidei lifroa mimenu mashechata. Kach paro harasha. Kevan sheshogar HaKadosh Baruch Hu etzlo chamesh pa'amim. V'lo hishgiach al dvarav. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him five opportunities to relent, and he did not do so. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Atohak sheta et arpecha, you became stubborn, vichbadata et libcha, hareini mosif lecha, tuma al tumasecha. So here the Ramban says, is a very famous line, that the opportunity for tshuva is not something that we are entitled to al pidin. It's an act of chesed on the part of HaKadosh Baruch. Because in theory, if as soon as a person engages in any transgression, automatically it should mean elimination from this world. And the way the Chafetz Chaim famously always explained it, he said, people who live in a house, in an apartment, what do? You get a lease. And in that lease, there are clauses. So when you have a clause, so the clause says, no washing machine and dryers in the apartment. Got to use the one in the basement. We all used to live, not all, but many of us lived in apartments. No dogs, no pets, okay? So now you violate it, you put a washing machine and dryer. What does it mean? As soon as he finds out, you're sleeping in Central Park. That's what happens, you get an eviction notice. Said the Chafetz Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's apartment is this world. We have a lease as well. It only has 613 clauses. So in theory, whenever you violate any clause, by right, you should get an eviction notice. So the act of tshuva is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts and gives us a second chance, is purely a chesed. If it's purely a chesed, if you have been offered that chesed three, four, five times, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, from now on, I treat you al pi din, not with the midah of chesed. And that's why there are times, which the Ramban says happens often, there are times when your Bechira Chavshis has been stripped. And we can justify it. Because the right to tshuva is not guaranteed al pi din. It's an act of chesed on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's part. And that's what happened to Paro here. That's number one. Everybody asks the same question. Im Hashem hikshe et libo, ma pisho? What is Paro's sin? V'yesh bo shnei ta'amim u'shnei ememes. Ho echad ki Paro berisho, aso li Yisrael ra'ot gedolot chinam. He made life difficult for Am Yisrael, for no reason whatsoever. He could have maintained control over them. This is exactly what Svarno just said. Therefore, nitchayev limnoa mimenu darkei tshuva. We are now obligated to take away the capacity for tshuva. Kashabo bazeh psukim rama bator b'ksuvim ulefi masav harisham nidom. V'hatam asheni, the first half of the makot were through his own wrongdoing. Paro et libo. he did not want to have them sent out in his honor. After he started getting very tired of the makot, his heart softened. Lola asot mitzon baro. Ve'az hikshe Hashem et ruchol ve'imetz et levavo leman saper shema. Then God hardened his heart to increase his glory. Ke'inyan shenemar ve'hiskadilti ve'hiskadishti ve'nodati le'enei goyim rabim. Ve'omar kodem hamakos va'ani achzeik et libo. So the Ramban quotes Sfarno, plus he offers something in general, that the right to do tshuva is not a din, it's a chesed. So if you violate the chesed, if you trample upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's offer for chesed, sometimes he doesn't offer it again. Yeah.
So how does this, these tshuvas, how did they eliminate the argument of this chesed? Because they'll come in and say, listen, he gave him five opportunities. He had enough to slam dunk among those five. Why come along and you've caused him to do it? And you're going
to. Right, the Ramban answers, yes, that's what he's saying.
No, I got
their pishon peh is correct. And I will tell them, it's not that God did it the first time, it's not that he did it the second
time.
He's going to silence the pishon peh by simply telling him the first couple of times HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an opportunity. But it's not unlimited. Those are the facts. That's what he's going to tell anybody who wants to use this as a pishon peh.
But he could have stopped right there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had five opportunities to say, for these five, I'm going to give you what you're going to get anyway, without.
I'm just thinking of a chesed versus a right. Whether tshuva is magia lecha, or tshuva is a chesed extended from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But there's a difference between the chesed of tshuva, you have the opportunity to come back volitionally, or now I'm going to really beat you with a cudgel because I caused you to do this now.
No, but why? Why? Because he took away... Right, there's a limit. I've had it. So when he decided not to send Bnei Yisrael by the sixth Makkah, yeah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, even if he wanted to, I'm not accepting it. Yeah.
Is it assumption that the concept of tshuva for non-Jews is the same as for Jewish people? The mitzvahs, the allowances. I mean, we for Jews assume that Ad Yom Moso, Hashem waits for you.
Right.
The last second of death, you can go do it.
Right.
We assume it's not the same necessarily for.
No, I think it is. They have far fewer responsibilities. All they have to do is observe Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and that's it. They have a much easier time of it.
Why do we even assume the tshuva works for? I mean, we know that tshuva works for, but we have sources for tshuva and so on. Why do we assume it works for non-Jewish?
There's no reason to assume it doesn't. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lo echpots b'mos harasha. Doesn't say Russia Yisrael. Anybody who's a Russian.
Is it a mitzvah to do tshuva? I mean, it's a mitzvah for us.
It's a machlokes the Rambam. No mitzvah for us to do tshuva. According, it's a machlokes the Rambam and the Ramban. The pasuk says in Parshas Nitzavim, "Vishavta ad Adoshem Elokecha." So the Ramban interprets that as a haftacha that Am Yisrael will eventually sof Yisrael la'asot tshuva. That eventually all of Am Yisrael will do tshuva. According to the Rambam, in his introduction, the Rambam says there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. It's a command. So there's a machlokes whether there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. And if you say it's no mitzvah to do tshuva, what is the whole parsh of tshuva? That if you decide to do tshuva, you have to say vidui. So tshuva is, you should confession. But there's no mitzvah to do tshuva, according to the Rambam.
Would the Rambam say that goyim have a right and a requirement to do tshuva, or no?
I don't think he would distinguish between the two. If they observe Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, they're entitled to Olam Haba and whatever Sachar Kodesh Baruch has in mind for us too. Yeah.
You interpret the Rambam as, since the severity of the Makos got higher and higher, he restored the balance of Bechira Chavshus by hardening his heart. Because if he hadn't, he was just given, as he said, because of the severity of the Makos. which would not have been Mechir Chavshes. It would have been forced by the Makos itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's really no way to restore them.
Right. Good. That's
would the Rambam say someone's obligated to in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva?
Would the what?
Would the Rambam say that someone is obligated to at one point sin in their lives in order they can fulfill mitzvah?
No, of course not. There's no mitzvah to marry your divorced wife, even though it's one of the you don't have no mitzvah to divorce her, so you can be a mekayim the mitzvah of matzah gerushasai. There are certain mitzvot which are situational mitzvot. The situational mitzvot is to do tshuva, right? But as the wise man always says, Ein Adam Ba'aretz Asher Lo Yecheta. There is nobody who hasn't transgressed. Except that Mar Sanhedrin claims that there are a couple of people who haven't sinned. A couple of them. Okay? Fine. Lama Gein Vaita. Lama Gein Vaita. Now, we got another wonderful thing that this Abuta said. Ve'omar abitul safra mishmei derav.
But we're assuming there's one power for 210 years?
No. Of course not.
Okay.
First of all, it could be, in theory, but they're all like that. If the parents are 2 feet tall, in all likelihood, the children are going to be not much taller.
Okay.
Ve'omar abitul safra. Paro shahaya bimei Moshe amgushi haya. He was an amgushi. Shine emar hine yotze hamayma. So Rashi offers two interpretations what an amgushi is. He cites, look at the Rashi, b'dibur amaschal, amgushi heva, d'chsiv hine yotze hamayma. Machloikis b'mesech ha-shabbos. Chad, it's actually a machloikis Rav and Shmuel. Chad omar charshi. In other words, he was a magician. Ulahachi yotze liyor bishvil machshefot. That's why he went out to the river, because at the river he had certain powers, magical powers. Ve'idach amar, and others say gidufe. It means he was aduk, attached. Or, you know, overpowered by Avodah Zarah. He was a mumar la Avodah Zarah. Lahachi yotze. So why does he go to the Yamsu, to the Nile? Sheomer, he says, Li yeori ba'ani asaitan. The Nile belongs to me, and I made it. So, and in fact, the Medrash elaborates on that, that he used to go to the Nile so he should go to the bathroom and nobody should see him. Because if he was a god and proclaimed himself as a god, gods don't have to go to the bathroom. Yeah.
In terms of when you say Mumar La Avodah Zarah, that what kind of Avodah Zarah? He was the god himself.
He was the god himself. Yeah. So if you take a look for a second on page number 4, the Marsha's comment on this Ge'onis of Avitul, he writes,
he's in the Gemara, it can't be a dummy.
Amgushe hava shine emar hine hu yotze hamayma. Kipirish Rashi. Vehiskir zeh hakasuv. Bemakas orov. Velo koidem lozeh. Bemakos ditzach. He's asking the question, if Paro did this regularly, why does the Torah report it only by the Makah of Orov? Not before the Makah of Orov. Why? And he answers, Lehorot, to teach us, Sha'af b'makah kinim ha-kodemes, by the previous makah, which was kinim, Omru ha-chartumim ki etzba Elohim hi. they acknowledged that the Makkah of Kenim was something that they could not replicate. Don't forget, when Dam and Sephardim, they were able to replicate. So they didn't make any big deal out of HaKadosh Baruch. They thought he was also a magician. But they could not replicate Kenim. Hence, they said, Etzba Elohim hi. Afal pikein, chizek v'hikshe hu levavon. Paro went and what? Hardened the Chartumim's hearts. V'lo nimna paro lotse tamayma hameima lemar b'shvil machshefim ulemar ligadev. So he went to the Nile either to do his what? His magical tricks, or to reinforce the fact that he was what? A god. So it's mentioned specifically by Arov, because after Kenim, his advisors said, let's give up. We recognize that we've been outclassed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he then took to it and said, no, I can also be a Kishof Macha, I can also be a magician, I can also be a god. So that's why he does so right here, and that's the real chiddush of this particular statement that Paro Hoya Angushi, that we should be aware of when in the process did he go to the R and play his little games. Okay, we can go weiter. Okay. The Mishnah had stated at the beginning of the Perek that we have a list, the name of the Perek is Elu Megalchin. However, the Mishnah also states Ve'elu Mechapsin. Since kibus, laundering clothing, is asur on Chol HaMoed, the Mishnah, and it's for the same reason that haircuts are asur, we said that, namely, due to the fact that you're not going to launder your clothing on Erev Yom Tov, if you assume you can wait until Chol HaMoed. And the halacha is very strict about it. You cannot ask a Gentile to launder your clothing. Can't give stuff into the dry cleaners, even if you're asking them to launder it for after Yom Tov. It's still all awesome. Not going to use it at all on Yom Tov. So normally, if you give something to a guy, what should be the Isur? But it's still Asur. Chazal are very strict about it. So let's see what the Gemara says. Ve'elu mechabsin b'moeh, haba m'mdina sayah. Omar Rav Asi Omar Rav Yochanan, mi she'ein lo ela choluk echad mutu lechabso b'cholo shemoe. Somebody who only has one shirt or one pair of pants, that individual is permitted to launder that article of clothing on cholo shemoe. Masiv Rav Yirmiya. So Rav Yirmiya challenges this. The Mishnah says, Elu nechabsin b'moe. These are a list of people who are permitted to launder. And what does the list include? The same list. Haba m'mdina sayam. Somebody who just arrived from overseas. Somebody who was released from jail. Somebody who was in the hospital and he was cured. In other words, somebody who didn't have the time to launder on Erev Yom Tov. And the drash is, Hani in, those that are listed in the Mishnah are permissible. Mi she'ein lo ela choluk echad, lo, are not permitted to engage in laundering. So how does Rabbi Yochanan make a statement that mi she'ein lo ela choluk echad is permitted to do so? Seems to be against the Mishnah. Amalei Rab Yaakov l'Rab Yirmiya. Az beruch masmitin. Afal gud de islei trei umit nefei. I'll explain it. The Mishnah is talking about where somebody has more than one. He's got two articles of clothing. So if you have two articles of clothing, what you really should have done is wash them both. So you wear one the first day's Yantif, then comes Chol HaMoed, you wear the other one. There's no heter to do any laundry. Who are the only ones who are allowed to do laundry even if they have two different articles? Those people listed in the Mishnah. However, anybody who has only one article is allowed to do to wash even on Cholo Shomoi. Even on Cholo Shomoi. And, yeah.
It's the same motivation as the shaving, meaning they shouldn't come into Yom Tov?
Yes, exact same reason. Exact same reason. So take a look at Tosfos B'Dibur HaMaskil Af Al Gav. Tosfos asks the question, what proof do you have that the Mishnah was talking about that a guy had two articles of clothing? Does it say any place in the Mishnah that with two articles of clothing? Doesn't say a thing. So how does the Gemara, in order to protect Rabbi Yochanan, automatically assume that that the Mishnah is talking about two, and we only grant the license for two to somebody who was over, you know, crossing the sea and so on and so forth? Everybody else is allowed to if they have only one. How do you know that? What indication is there in the Mishnah?
Maybe not in the Mishnah, but Rabbi Yochanan would not have said it had the Mishnah not perhaps...
Okay, but so the Gemara is challenging to... Rabbi Yochanan didn't say this. Somebody is defending Rabbi Yochanan. So, how do we know?
Didn't we have something similar already in this vein? That when somebody only has one, there's more dispensation to that person?
We didn't have,
nothing
discuss
like
kibbutz yet, no.
But in other articles of clothing, was it with the shoes? He only had one, he was allowed to do something to it? Right.
So take a look at Tosfos. Afal gav de islei trei umitnefei. Midelo mishani hacha. Midelo mishani. Hacha b'mayaskinon b'shelo kibsu lifnei haregel. The lo shirinan mishel ein lo ela choluk echad ela hecha de kibsu lufnei haregel aval lo kibsu de pasha lo shari mashma de mishe ein lo ela choluk echad shari lechapso b'moed afilu pasha velo kibsu lufnei hamoed, says Tosfos. The Gemara could have resolved the question by simply claiming, did the guy wash his clothing or not on Erev Yontif? So if he washed his clothing on Erev Yontif, and now he's only got one garment, and what happens? So then you have to let him, because if you don't want him to look like wearing soiled clothing on the first day Yontif, by being lazy, and therefore you legislate, I'm not going to allow you to wash your clothing on Cholo Shomoi. Well, what do you have to worry about now? On the second day of Yom Tov, he's going to look like a slob wearing soiled clothing. And if he did everything that is humanly possible, we'll have to allow it. But even if you have only Choluk Echad, if you did not wash that one Choluk Erev Yom Tov, then we're not going to allow you to wash it on Cholo Shomoi. Says Tosfos, the Gemara did not answer that. So what inference do I draw from the fact that the Gemara did not make such a distinction?
Even if he doesn't before any...
Correct. That if you have one chaluk, under all circumstances, you are allowed to wash your clothing. Whether you're coming from across the street or coming from New Zealand, makes no difference. You're always allowed to. Whether it was b'mezid or b'shogeg, So that's what tipped off the Gemara to say to Rabbi Yochanan, to say, you know what? The Gemara is not making any such distinctions. And as a result, since it didn't make that distinction, we now draw the conclusion that under all circumstances, if you have only one chaluk, that chaluk can be washed on chalul shamoed. On chalul shamoed. That's what Tosfos answers. Ubetosfos mesupak bazeh. It's a little unusual that whoever is the author of this Tosfos is calling the other guys Tosfos, as if I'm not Tosfos. Other Balei HaTosfos, he says, were not as convinced as I am that if you did not wash your one garment on Erev Yom Tov, that you are allowed to automatically wash it on Cholo Shomoed.
It should be the same Zera.
If
you wash it before Yontif, then
right?
And you only have one, so you wash it again. But
yes.
If you didn't wash it, tough luck on you.
Right. Venerally, the Hachamashim. I believe that the Mishnah indicates this. Midolo mafli. Because, as we just said, the Gemara did not make any such distinction. Therefore, I believe it's a blanket heter to wash the one garment. Venira. Degabe ovel lo shirinan kishe'en lo el chaluk echad. By an ovel, this license does not exist. So if you have somebody who is in avelus and he only has one garment, he cannot wash it during the shiva. Says Tosfos, I'll tell you why. Ta'afilu hayu lo mechubasin osur lubosh. Even if you already had, if you had other garments that were washed previous to the avelus, you're not allowed to change your clothing during the shiva. At least your shirt and your pants can't change. Undergarments you can change. But your shirt and your pants, skirt and blouse, you cannot change. So that means that the halach is cognizant of the fact that it is very possible for somebody to have a shirt on and a pair of pants or a skirt and get them dirty. And what will the halacha tell that other during the shiva? I'm sorry, you can't change. So if you can't change and you have an existing clean pair of clothing, an article of clothing, therefore, why should I allow you to wash the article of clothing when you only have one? Wear that dirty clothing all yantif. Proof to the pudding is, all during the whole avelus. Proof to the pudding is, because even if you have additional changes, we don't allow you to change. We don't allow you to change. Meshein kin b'regel. However, during Cholo Shomoed, no one ever said, or yantif. You just can't wash. But if you have other garments, are you allowed to change them on yantif? Of course you can change them on yantif. So therefore, Tosfos believes that by Ovel it doesn't apply. Then he also says, Tzorich Iyun b'kohen sheshilma mishmarto beregel. A kohen who completed his tour of duty on Yom Tov, in mutar lechabes, is that kohen permitted to launder his clothing? Letana de la'el, detana Kohen ve'ovel. If you remember correctly, we discussed this before, whether the Brisa includes Kohen and Ovel and treats them in the exact same fashion. Ve'afilu ve'afilu l'tana didan imchal shlishi lios be'erev yom tov she'osur be'rechitza ad ha'erev.
Tana Kohen, period. And then it's the Ovel, Afilu L'Tana.
Yeah. Right, okay, I'm sorry, you're right. The Ovel, Afilu L'Tana Didan, Imchal Shlishi, Lios Be'erev Yom Tov, She'osa B'ruchitza Ad Ho'erev. Not one Rishon said, I have no idea what Tosfos is talking about. What do you mean, Yom Shlishi? What's Yom Shlishi got to do with anything significant about events? The only thing that happens on Yom Shlishi that is after on Yom what?
Conversations,
leaving the house for a compelling reason, things of that nature. Whether you're not, you should. It would be appropriate to be Menachem Avel. According, it used to be years ago, people did not go until after the third day to be Menachem Avel, because the first 3 days were considered lebechia, for personal reflection and mourning and crying, and the people didn't feel it was appropriate to engage them. So today, you know, obviously we're kind of busy and it's a little harder to do that, but that used to be the practice. But what does that have to do with the change in Isuri Avelos? No place does it ever indicate that Kibbutz Begadim on day number 3 is any different than what? Than day number 4, than number 6. So who cares that the third day of Avelos happens to wind up on Erev Yom Tov? What's one got to do with the other? As I said, all Rishonim are puzzled. They say it must be a text that just doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Okay?
Yeah.
No, so I can't explain what we're showing you can't explain. Upirish Bekuntris, and Rashi explains, even though Rashi doesn't say anything right here, Pirish Bekuntris, Ad halayla b'tzonan o ad cholomoed b'chamin v'eino mutar lirchotz mibe'erev yom tov. He's trying to explain what how Rashi explained this Yom Shlishi. So again, I can't comment on what Rashi is saying either, because I don't know what the Gemara is talking about. Okay. Now,
Why does anyone speak about? I would think it would matter if it got dirty on Yom Kippur or not.
Makes no difference.
I mean, because then it chose, like, if he chose not to wash it before Yom Kippur because it was clean, that's the evil that he would have washed it if it were.
Correct. Clean. I know. It's a good question. It's a good question. If it was clean on Erev Yom Tov, why should he wash it on Erev Yom Tov? Why are you going to penalize him for not having washed it on Erev Yom Tov when it was clean already on Erev Yom Tov? Maybe he washed it the day before. Who knows? It's a good question.
Even if he has 40 pairs of clothing, let's say something happens and he did everything he was supposed to do and some crazy goofy thing happens. They're not going to allow him to wash. He's going to go into second day's Yom Tov looking.
But if he has 40 pairs, what's the problem?
I'm just saying, something like an accident, or he has 5 pairs and something gets dirty, all of them get dirty somehow.
Even we're not going to let him. We are not going to let him. Take a look at page 5 of the Ritva. Ve'elu mechapsim b'moed. B'gemara muchach lehedya. Our Gemara seems to indicate. Dahani demani tana in midi achrin alom. Any one of the people who what? Who are listed in the Mishnah as being permitted to launder, can launder, anybody else? No. Because how do I know how do you know? Because the Gemara wanted to challenge Rabbi Yochanan, who said that if you have Ein lo el cholok echad, it's mutter. The Gemara challenged it because it's not in the Mishnah. Asks the Ritva, how come in relationship to kibbutz, we are being so meticulous. And if you remember, v'ilu masha'en king b'mishnas elu migalchim k'debarshina v'reish pirkin. In the beginning of the parak, we saw that there were lots of other cases who were allowed to take a haircut or shave above and beyond the cases that are in the Mishnah. And the Gemara said, Tana v'shiyer. The Mishnah had a list, and left over, not everything is included in that particular list. So why can't you say the exact same thing about kibbutz? The Mishnah lists X number of cases, but it's not an exhaustive list, and we will allow somebody who has only one chaluk, as Rabbi Yochanan said, to allow him to wash it.
Why? Ton of a shear, even if there's one shear alone.
Okay, so maybe we can find other cases. Well, then at least answer that. Answer a ton of a shear, but if there's only one, you know, the Gemara doesn't say anything. Mm. It just says there is nothing to negotiate. So the Gemara has to answer. No, it's talking about the two and so on and so forth. Asks the Ritva, why is it v'kashuli haminolon le'afluge benayu? How did anybody in the Gemara know to make a distinction between haircutting and laundry? By haircutting, it's a loose list, and there are others that the Gemara is willing to include. However, by laundering, we are not willing to make such a statement. Why not? Answers the Rashba, venerally, Mishum the Katani Sefer, Mishnah Yaseir. Because the end of the Mishnah adds some words only after the kibbutz list, but did not add, have that concluding phrase after the haircutters. What are the early words? Hare elu mutarin, ushar koladam asurin. When you have a list, you can assume that the list is not an exhaustive list. So why do you have to conclude, say, after you list all of the people who are allowed to take a haircut, now I have to say, Hare elu asurin, amutarin rather, ushar koladam asurin. Since the Mishnah at the end of the kibbutz makes such a statement, therefore it takes the list of the kibbutz much more seriously, and as a result, it believes it's a firm, hard list. And as a result, the Gemara makes that inference and challenges Rabbi Yehuda. However, with all due, one could disagree with the Ritva very simply. If you actually look at the Mishnah on Daf Yudal, open it up to Daf Yudal in a minute, for a minute. I could have interpreted that last phrase of the Mishnah, five lines on Daf Yudal Amud Aleph, at the end of the Mishnah, in the following fashion. I could have read the Mishnah like this. The Mishnah is on the bottom, you give them the base. Eilu mechapsin. Excuse me. Eilu medalfin b'moed. Now ve'eilu mechapsin b'moed. And now the Mishnah is summarizing both lists. Both lists. Hare eilu mutarim. These are the list of what? Of those who are allowed to take a haircut, and the list of what? Of those who are allowed to launder. Ushar kol adam. Anybody else who is not on the list of haircuts and not on the list of laundry are asurin. I don't know what compelled, from a style point of view, it would be perfectly legitimate to make that, to read it that way. But the Rat Ritva, a little smarter than we are, believes that, no, this statement is only a concluding statement of the second half of the Mishnah, which says, Elu Mechabsin B'moed. Mm-hmm. And therefore, since that additional phrase is used as a recap of the list of those who are on launder, it believes that the list is a more tight one.
Maybe because of the clause of Anozi B'Matzorah Mitumasol Taraso.
Well, that's just one of the illustrations.
But those were special lists.
But the first, because those have no application to haircuts. That's why. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. All
right. Yeah. On the bottom, the Ritva cites a Yerushalmi. The bottom of the page, he cites a Yerushalmi. Bigadim kitanim mutu lechabsin b'moed. Children's clothing you're allowed to launder on chalosh moed. And I saw somebody, I forgot who it was, who says that it's specifically talking about diapers. That with a diaper, you know very well that children have to be changed multiple times. And as a result, Chachamim understood that's as if me. It's as if lo hayelo ela chaluk echad. It's as if he had only one diaper, because they change so often that having 15 diapers is never enough. So we all know that as being accurate, and the Yerushalmi allows it, and that's the way we are. Certainly no hay. Certainly no hay that way.
So it basically penalizes anyone who has
Now, if you go to page 7, which is the Keren Ira, and at the beginning, he just, where I bracketed at the bottom, he basically cites the Riva, that which we just said. But then he quotes another Yerushalmi at the end of line 4, Ubi Yerushalmi Isa, Amar Rab Yosi Barbun, Ubilchud Tre. The Yeheshalachad, Velovashchad, Velo Yodati Peusho Amaikoi. I have Rab Yosi Barbun made a statement. Ubilchud tray, only if you have what? Two. The Yehe Sholach Chad, the Lovash Chad. The word Sholach itself is a difficult word. Velo Yodati Perushay Amaikoi. I have no idea what this case is talking about. In fact, I looked up the Yerushalmi, and none of the Nosei Kalim, the Korban Eda, the Pnei Moshe, none of the Mefarsh say a word. What is this case and why is it here? Venira v'hayenira k'tzat, maybe ditzorech lomar de Rabbi Yosi Barbun basa ha de bigdei k'tanim, that perhaps this statement of Rabbi Yosi Barbun could have been following the statement of the Yerushalmi, which said that children's clothing you're allowed to. The poshitly, the kemosha einlo ela chaluk echadami, that if you have two of kids, it's as if what? As if one. Al ze kamar de lo hutur ela trei. What he means to say is, don't mean that you can what? Wash 15 diapers. Wash 15 articles of clothing. What do? You clean one, you wear it, and now you just keep alternating. If the second one that he puts on, he gets dirty, what do? You wash that one then. But it's not a carte blanche heter to what? To do 50 loads of children's laundry. And that would be, most people with children's laundry are not makbid to do this. But the Keren Ira is claiming that perhaps there's a limitation on even children's clothing, that it's a limit of two, and you just keep alternating. One that's clean, and one that's not clean. That's possible. That is possible. So if you take a look at pages 9 and 10, you'll see the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. So the Mishnah says, "Ein mechapsin b'moed v'hatam kimo giluach." Very nice. The elu shemechapsin abam b'dinas hayam beis hashivya, so on and so forth. Nishav regel shkanim pnai. Very nice. Yeah. Now line 3. V'istigarsi hasvarim u'mitpachot hasaf ganim shemistabkin behem kishiyotzi mi beit hamerchatz, towels that people use in a bathhouse, or bigdei ktanim, v'chol klei pishta, and all garments made out of flax. The Gemara itself will say you're allowed to wash flax on Chol Shamoi. We'll talk about it probably next week. The Adoni Avi Harashzal wrote, "V'lo nihigin kach, the ein lahatiran." You should not allow any of these hatirin. What? Don't go ahead and allow the bathhouse to wash their towels. Don't allow parent to wash children's clothing, and don't go ahead and take advantage of a Gemara Mefureshet, Bavli and Yerushalmi, to allow to wash clay pishta.
He's sharing chumras here.
He doesn't explain why. Why did they come a minug to take advantage of a leniency which the Bavli quotes by clay pishta and the Yerushalmi quotes by Bigdei Ketanim? You know, and sometimes the Yerushalmi says things that the Bavli doesn't. So that doesn't mean that the Bavli necessarily disagrees. It just didn't list it. So it's a little difficult to understand why they don't want to take advantage of it.
Was it a concern of a malacha issue or not at all?
No, it's just, we didn't know. There's no malacha do laundry on Chol Shamoed. Not a malacha issue. It's just, he said the same thing as for Giluach. He wrote that at the beginning.
I understand that, but I'm struggling, and you would think that. Okay.
I don't know. So if you go to the Mechaber on page 10, he writes, in Mechabs in Demoe, and then in the middle of line 2, Umitpachos hayadayim, hand towels. Umitpachos hasaporayim, barber shop guys who have, you know, the little sheet that they put on you
to cut all the people who are cutting their hair on Chol Hamoed who are allowed to.
Umitpachos haspag, that's the bathhouse guys. Ubigdei ktanim, ubalas hakesem shenimtsa b'moed. A woman noticed a blood spot on her garments. Umi she'ein lo ela choluk echad, kulon mechabsin kedarkan afilu b'nesa v'al. All of these are allowed to launder their clothing, even if they use soap and laundry and detergent. So the mechaber paskins against the rush, who the Torah was quoting because it was his father, and but he writes. Ubefarhesia, and they're allowed it even by Farhesia al gabe hanoh. Umiyu lo yechapsu rakat sorich lehen. They should wash whatever they need. Now, what do you need? Hainu cholak echad, one garment at a time. Miyu big day haktanim biyoser. Ktanim, you don't have to limit it to what?
One.
To one. Shidahainu oso shemelachfim bahem umashtinim. Umotzi and Rei Bohem, they urinate and they have a bowel movement. Mutta lechabez dalud vehe bepam echad. Ki tzorich lahar vehem kol rega. That's what Mrs. Rama told him. That's what you should write in your book. Just write it. Yeah. Vidavka vahata mutta lechabez befahesia, hainu davka kishirochetz agav anor. Mishum dinskabez. Yoser Yafa al Gavanar. Avol im eno koves al Gabe Hanar, lo yechabes rak betzina, velo befarhesia. And many say that the reason.
What? What does that mean?
That if you're not doing it if you're doing it in a bucket, in your backyard, if you're doing it in a bucket, not by the river, then you should only do it betzina, backyard, not on the public street.
Wow. What's the difference?
I don't have a good reason.
So the Nahar is better? That's Yoter Yafi?
Yeah, because it does better. Because it wanders
running,
better.
It's running water.
Yeah. We understand.
I just made that up.
I can understand why you do it. Because it's more effective. I don't know why.
So maybe
don't know. What? Quick
fish, right?
But the chapsa. Daddy writes,
"Well,
no, I'm okay.
But no, I'm okay."
So right?
Yeah.
So
it's better.
So we think you're much to do it.
But the minig is not to do it.
Wait, the minig is what?
Not to do with the clay pishta. We'll get to the Gemara next week about clay pishta. All right, we'll stop here and continue. Yeah, next to go.